Anyone new here for meditation? So this is a silent meditation. There is no technique, no mantra chanting, no visualization, no concentration, nothing. It is a relaxing. So don't try to stop thoughts from coming, whether they are good or bad or irrelevant, it does not matter. This meditation is merely witnessing whatever comes without stopping it. So even if it's a mundane thought about meeting someone after satsang, going for lunch somewhere, or some trouble at work, it does not matter. It's irrelevant. You are just allowing the flow of thoughts to be. That's all. Right? And at the end of 30 minutes, starting from now, you will hear a bell which marks the end of the meditation. Clear? So this is not a form of discipline or punishment, waiting for 30 minutes to get over. Everything is honored. Preferably palms facing up, because that is the way we receive energy. But if you're uncomfortable, you can just manage your hands, the palms, however you want them. And spine straight. How was your meditation?
Good. I mean, there were lots of thoughts, obviously, but very normal thoughts, like you said, coming in, going out. I was very like relaxed, though. I don't think we need this, but
that's for the recording.
Okay. So yeah, I think I was really peaceful through the meditation, and I was observing the thoughts. They were coming in, they were going out, and it wasn't phasing me in any way, so I was just being and letting it happen.
So you see, this kind of meditation is actually prepping us for our day. If we can allow in the waking state just the witnessing of thoughts,
mm-hmm.
without rushing into them.
Yeah.
This, when we give ourselves this opportunity to sit for a little time and just allow things to be, we find in the day this starts happening.
Hmm.
See, otherwise we are very reactive human beings.
Yes.
If someone says something, we want to immediately hit the ball back in their court.
Yeah.
So, with this meditation, we find by and by we start responding to life rather than reacting to it. Because now there's a distance.
Yeah.
Normally I'm consumed by thoughts, and those thoughts become thinking in the duration of time. I'm thinking about the future, something about the past.
Mm-hmm.
My whole day goes between the past and the future. When this quality is developed more and more, then it brings in a measured response to a situation.
Yes.
How was it for you?
Yeah, it was good. I was just actually it was half an hour, so not I was not comfortable sitting. My legs were paining, but otherwise I was just letting it whatever is happening. So as you told, as you instructed, like no mantra, nothing, just go with whatever is coming and going. So I was just with me. That's it. Just not it's like I was not judging myself.
Yes.
For, oh, my leg is paining. Oh, this is happening. So that judgment thing is...
That voice in the head.
Yes, yes, yes. So being reactive is like basically we are judging all the time.
Correct.
That's what is happening. Yes. And this teaching and this... When I am listening to your talks, that is where it brings me peace. It allows me to, you know, observe. Like, okay, initially I used to be reactive. Let me be very truth about it. I used to be angry. I used to be reactive. Why people are like this? Why it is happening like this? But when I'm listening to these talks, you know, that understanding is happening. Okay, things are like that. We have to accept.
Things are like that because people are the way they are.
Yes. Yes.
You see?
So they are going, they have their own conditioning.
Yes. Someone said it very beautifully when they started meditating. After a few months, they realized. She said that when I meditate, I am with myself and I enjoy now being with myself.
Yes.
See, many of us don't like being with ourselves. So we find distractions. We start scrolling on the mobile, start watching TV, start saying, what can I do next? Where can I go? Whom can I call? Whom can I meet? So when we get more comfortable with ourselves, that is meditation. And that happens when we become more comfortable with life, more comfortable with people. Then we become comfortable with ourselves. If we are agitated by people and if we are agitated by life's situations, we are uncomfortable. So this is, you could say, a sadhana to get comfortable. Because we have realized, everyone who's in a gathering like this, that life is about ups and downs. There's no point escaping it. Pains come unasked. Pleasures come and go. So someone who has realized this at an intuitive level, that there's more to life than mundane living, they land up at satsangs. Even if they are not aware of it, consciously. Because at that deep level, there's this knowing that, how do I get out of this situation?
True.
That is the spiritual call. Anyone else? You are also first time here.
Yes.
Any thoughts you'd like to share?
Thoughts comes and goes. But I felt myself on a quite at a peace level.
Peace.
Yes, I have a backache or whatever that body is paining and legs are like this. But nothing has happened during this meditation. So I felt I was at peace a level and very happiness, and I was feeling myself in a divine light. Like sunlight, like rising sun, I can see during this meditation. So I felt very...
Did you see it or did you try visualizing seeing it?
I was visualizing actually seeing the sunrise earlier in the initial stage of meditation. Then I felt myself, the light falling on myself, and I was feeling very The feeling was very happiness feeling was there. So totally it was really, really very, very nice feeling. Thank you.
Would anyone else like to share anything or ask anything?
First time I have attended this meditation.
But you've come here before?
No, in Pune I came.
I see.
After that I traveled from Pune to come here. Yeah.
What is your name?
Rajesh.
Rajesh.
Yeah. Starting there are a lot of traffic jam of the thoughts, but later on thoughts are disappearing, but I'm feeling sleepy, I feel. So is it okay, like then getting sleepy in the meditation?
It's a very good question. First you have to ask yourself, is it physical tiredness? Like maybe you didn't sleep the night before properly. That only you will know. But supposing you feel, no, I've slept well, then why am I feeling sleepy? Because the mind is quietening down. You know, that this fatigue of this active mind is being given a chance to rest. So, it is quite common that you'll be surprised that sometimes people have to lie down. It's just, they feel so, it's as if all the wires are pulled out of the system. You know, so that we know basically whether it is a sleepiness where we are in that or physically we were short of. It's a good thing.
And when to practice this meditation?
Preferably mornings.
Okay.
But if that's not possible, even throughout the day, you can even do 10 minutes.
Okay.
Just to allow yourself to be.
Mm-hmm.
And then get back to work or back to things. That also helps.
But in your presence, that is more effective. But when we do ourselves, that time we hardly able to sit then.
Yeah, so don't force yourself. Even if it's 5 minutes, 10 minutes is your capacity, go that much.
Okay.
It should not become something I must force myself to do. Having said that, you will find that supposing I force myself to sit for 20 minutes, although it is difficult, initial few days you'll struggle, and then finally the biorhythm of the body, you'll get acclimatized and it will become less and less of a struggle. So that could also happen. Plus, it is quite true that in the Indian spiritual thought, the time of Brahma Muhurat, 3:30 to 5:30 a.m. is significant, because not only is the outside world asleep, but the yogis in the Himalayas and across the length and breadth of the land, that is the time they meditate.
Mm-hmm.
And that is the time when their vibrations can be tapped into by those who are sincere in their practice. So there is a truth to that also. Group meditation has distinct advantages. Mm-hmm. It raises one up faster than when one is on one's own. And why is that? Because there are some people in a group who are generally more at peace with others than others, right? So it's become their natural state. So that vibration lifts the one who is just beginning or struggling. That is the group dynamics. And this was proved by Maharishi Mahesh Yogi of Transcendental Meditation in the 70s, I think, where he proved that the crime rate of towns came down where he did group meditations. So group, that is why in India it is common in ashrams you have group meditations, special timings for that. And there is a teacher. It's like, this is the school of life. Basically, meditation is dying to one's reactivity. When I die to reactivity, because life will make you react, its job is to do that. The ego gets poked. And meditation is to realize that what is poked and provoked is the ego with a sense of doership. You know, there are people who we all have met who feel they are always right. And if you try telling them, that your perspective is just one perspective out of many, they get stunned sometimes before they react. Because those who think they are always right, who dominate, who control, cannot accept that their view of life is not the truth. They think their view of life is the truth. I know better than you. I know what's right. I know what's wrong. This is based on doership, the ego. When you realize, whether it is your spouse, whether it is your sibling, whether it is your parent, that everyone is giving their perspective, their individual perspective, based on their conditioning, their genetics, their nature, you are out of the game. They may not be. For you, the game is up. Then you start accepting others and yourself more and more. That is meditation. Sorry?
It's very difficult to be around them because they only want yes men.
Yes, true.
Right? And then it's very difficult to, you know, kind of interact. That's why there is so much conflict.
Yes.
Because
I agree.
As yourself also, you're not so on that level where you can accept everything.
So what do you do in such a situation?
No, start accepting, no doubt about it. But inside that thing is, you know, that ego is still there.
True. Yes, I can also say something, but then again you start feeling bad that why did I start it? Because they are not going to accept, and then they will tell you four things. You know, if you say one, and then you listen four, and then you say, why did I start?
Correct. Yeah. Because you are helpless.
Yeah, I am also helpless.
Yes, but there are two things here. One is earlier what one could call unconscious living, where this will keep going on and on.
Yeah.
Right? The other is when you start the journey, which is also God's will.
Right.
Which is a journey of awareness. Now I'm aware.
Right.
Being aware does not mean it will stop. Because you have been a conditioned being since birth.
Right.
It's going to take time. But that awareness itself is a big step, because many people are not even aware
right.
of what you described.
Right.
Many are suffering their reactivity.
I started because of that.
And then the one who is aware suffers more, because now they are so sensitive to it.
Right, right. But I somehow thank also for that person, because otherwise I wouldn't have been here.
Correct. Exactly. That is the way to look at life.
I feel that at least God brought me here. Why? Because I was not able to go through what I was going through.
Not only that, that person is helping you on your spiritual journey.
That is what I'm saying.
By playing the mean person.
Right, right. No, plus he's just an instrument. It's
exactly.
not his fault.
Exactly.
That today I can understand that.
And you are unraveling your own ego and its traits.
Right.
You see?
Yeah, I was no less. It's like that.
Yeah.
It's always, they say in Hindi, they say, every ser hai sawa ser. You know, if you feel you are something, somebody will come and tell you, I am better than you.
Yeah. You know? That is it.
But it's a beautiful journey.
It is.
You know, once you start it, and then you start kind of being very truthful with yourself.
Hmm.
Because ultimately, otherwise you feel, oh no, no, it's okay. But then you start becoming truthful.
Mm-hmm.
Inside you are totally impartial.
Yes.
You know, you don't tell yourself, I'm right.
Correct.
Then you tell yourself, no, again you did it.
So that is the sat.
Yes, yes.
The truth is that. That the truth is not your opinion or my opinion. The truth is in between.
Right. They say, no, it's my story, your story, but the right thing. Three things.
Yeah, both are only stories.
Yeah.
Your story is your story, my story yeah. is my story.
So it's like this, that everybody's right in their own way.
Yes.
So there's no way to tell anybody anything.
No. Because if you were in their shoes, you would say the same
yes,
things
yes,
they are saying.
Right.
Let's say there's a person who was conditioned by the parent to be a super achiever. Right? You must make it in life. You must lead the way. That person in the formative years is going to do whatever it takes to become that. Including walking all over people.
True.
You see? Because they were conditioned that way. Mm. If they were conditioned another way, it would not happen. So most of us are living pre-programmed lives unconsciously.
True.
Then we are living pre-programmed lives consciously, but that does not eradicate our suffering. The suffering which gets eradicated, the psychological suffering which gets eradicated, that is when we surrender, love and trust a path, a teacher, which is basically the same thing, and realize that our way of seeing needs to be given up because it's not worked for us so far,
mm-hmm.
and offered to the source, back to the source, that now I have tried my best, now you take over. That is the surrender.
This I got from you when I started coming here. Surrender.
You see, because we can't think our way out of situations.
Right.
It needs a paradigm shift. Otherwise, we are circling in the mind only all the time.
True. And mind
we are trying to find peace of mind through the mind.
Yeah.
But peace of mind is actually the dissolution of the mind.
Mind, right.
That is the surrender. And that mind, you realize.
And mind plays its own games.
Including spiritual games.
Yeah. There also you get that thing, oh, I know. Now
yeah,
I know.
Yeah.
You know?
And then you become arrogant.
Right.
Now I don't need this. Now I don't need that. I know.
Spiritual ego.
Spiritual ego is worse. Better to have a normal ego. Because with the spiritual ego, you can get a tight slap, which you would not normally get. Because you have strayed off the path.
True. And not even recover.
You may not recover. You know, talking about slaps, recently I read that in Neem Karoli Baba's time, someone stole a bag of cement. So he was very angry. So he called the gardener and said, you've stolen this bag of cement. The gardener said, no, I have not stolen it. One tight slap and he fell to the ground. And Maharaj told him that you have not only stolen it, but how much have you taken for it? And then he said 250 rupees. So he told him that, he told his disciple, you give him 250 rupees more. And then he told him that next time you do this, I'll send you to the central jail. But it so turns out that he insisted on working for Neem Karoli Baba. So Neem Karoli Baba sent him to his Lucknow temple. Central jail. And it so happened that the man in charge there was a retired prison warden. So sometimes with the spiritual ego, you can get a tight slap, as you rightly said. Therefore, how do I conclude whether the spiritual ego is operating or not? It is very simple. One, am I at peace? Because if I'm not at peace, but my ego thinks I am, then it's the spiritual ego. Two, my behavior with people. Do I find kindness and compassion arises more easily? Or I find that has not changed? Spiritual ego. Do I find in situations where I like to quote teachers, teachings, masters, and anyone gives a point of view, I must give my spiritual point of view to that? Spiritual ego. Do I think I know it all? Spiritual ego. Because in this journey, you realize the more you know, the more you know that you don't know. Because you see another person's perspective and you really feel that actually this person might be right, I might be wrong. That certainty of your position starts dissolving. Then that is also retrieved on the spiritual journey. Because when I'm standing on the pedestal of peace, like my guru would say, on a large immovable rock, then nothing can shake me. So you have to be careful. Are we trying to bantify gyan to everyone? Are we saying this person said this, that person said that, this one said that? That is all coming from the mind. When the teaching is settling in the heart, all these games are given up. How do I get out of a situation? The answer is, you have to die to it. Ego can't bear hearing that. Then ego will put up its defenses. Do I mean I get walked over? Does it mean I don't say anything? We are not talking of that. How do you die to it is you accept the will of God. You absolve the person of being the doer. Thereafter, do that which you think and feel you should do, which is the Gita. If I find that with a particular person, the only solution is not to engage, because any time I engage, there's a volcano erupting. I've tried my best. But now, instead of moving away in reactivity, I want to avoid that person. What happens? I absolve that person of being the doer. I accept their divine blueprint the way God created it. Now, I may choose as my preference not to be around that person, if I have that choice. So it is not a reactive stepping away. It is now a preference. Knowing that this particular Rinanubandh is always triggering me and the other, and it's just not meant to work out, at least I have freed this person up in my consciousness. And I also find, in addition to that, I really wish them well, that, you know, may you really find your peace.
You could pray for them.
You could pray for them. Whatever. So you're no longer obsessed with that person's doing. That obsession with the person's doing is creating this psychological suffering. Then I may say, if life has given me the opportunity to not engage with that person, I stop engaging. And I find if after some time that person comes back to me and says, hey, you know, I miss you, or why have you stopped engaging with me? I may express myself saying, this is honestly, I feel what it is about, or I may decide for myself, no, silence is the best in this situation. I am open to whatever happens, because there's no judgment. I was in London giving satsang a week ago, and there was some very nice discussions. One was a man called Shafiq, and he said that the teaching had become second skin for him. It was no longer a process also, really. The whole conditioning got rewired. So when something happens, it's already now seen in that light. It doesn't have to go through the mind. That is the surrender.
With my dad, I had this relationship of banter.
And most of my trauma came from there. And so that was my route to come to prayer or God or the same thing. But once I got healed, the first thing I realized when I really looked at him, I realized that he's, as a person, he's always felt unloved. And that is the reason why he's, you know, like constantly telling everybody what to do.
Mm-hmm.
And with me, he had the relationship of the father, so he's always the father. Now the problem I faced was I couldn't tell him anything. The moment I started, you know, like trying to point out, ki, you know, like, why are you so angry with, you know, what's the big deal with being Hindu, or, you know, like something I would say, and he would flare up, say, no, listen, understand. And then he would go on a long, you know,
Katha,
very Katha guy, which is great for other people because a fabulous storyteller, and you know, like he loves people and talking and everything. But when nobody's around, I see how he suffers. So the challenge now was that how do I make him feel loved? because I could see that, you know, that's the root cause of the whole thing. And I realized that I can't use my mind with him because he sees the sun. He can't see anything beyond that. So the first solution was that I started every morning, instead of good morning, I would just give him a hug.
Mm.
I just, like, naturally that came to my head and I started with that. Touch his feet, give him a hug. And initially he was like, not used to it, like. And then slowly he started giving in. Then he would come into my room in the morning, see if I'm up, he would give me hugs. Quick changes. But still, like, anytime I felt like, you know, he's using hate to look at the world, I couldn't say anything to him. So then the second solution was that anytime I wanted to tell him something, I would ask it as a question and have him say the same thing. If he's not going out for walks and if he's not physically moving, I would tell him, Dad, wo Siddharth ke papa hai, wo, he's just, you know, like, he has this, he feels so heavy, yet he's sitting at home all day. He should go out for walks. But that was the only solution.
Yes.
And, you know, just by the repetition of him saying it, he didn't adhere to it completely, but I could bring it into his consciousness that, you know, like, look at this, try to look at this way. I don't know if he realized what I'm doing. But the final thing that worked the best for me, especially, was giving him a foot massage.
Mm.
Nothing worked like that. For me to express how much I love him, all I could do, the final solution, was pair the one. I realized I don't have to say anything to him.
Yeah.
That was my surrender completely, where I completely accepted that छोड़ दो कुछ चेंज नहीं करना है.
That is it.
इससे ऊपर मैं कुछ कर ही नहीं सकता हूँ.
And more importantly, you realized how do you show someone who wants to be loved how to be loving? You realized by being loving myself.
Absolutely.
That is all. So that started the hugs.
Absolutely.
So it comes back to ourselves.
100%.
You can't help doing anything if someone feels unloved, they feel unloved. Giving them love is not going to work in that sense. Trying to undo their being unloved, that is also doership. But being an example of being loving, which is one's nature, is all one can do. But you see, we hold back. Because the other person holds back, we hold back. But if we rest in our true nature and we are loving, it is bound to rub off on the other.
Initially, that's also very difficult. Their pain body is so active that just to approach them, you feel it.
Yes, of course.
They will repel you. They repel you with their pain body.
Yeah.
And you, like, it's like asking for permission. Slowly you, like, ask for permission to, you know, even give them any kind of physical affection.
I can understand.
And it takes, like, with this relationship, I took a long time. Like, longest.
You're lucky. Probably. I know parent, father-son relationships which are very unhealed.
100%.
Till the parent dies.
100%.
Many, many. Now, in the UK, if you go to the smaller towns, like we went to these small hotels, the manager was a beacon of light. They have no hesitation. Hello, my loves. How was your day? Hi, darling. So one is naturally happy, you know, because you go down to the reception. Hello, my loves. Did you sleep well? Were the pillows okay? She may be doing her job, but it's coming naturally to her. You know, she's not like thinking, okay, if I tell them hello, my loves, they'll be happy. Okay. It's a natural way of being.
Yeah.
And so we have to allow ourselves to be natural. See, when we were children, we could not discriminate. We were pure. We didn't judge the adults because we didn't have that conditioning so far. That got built over time. So that pure spontaneity of the child is what gets rediscovered. this obsession with people and how they are drops. You know, people think this is all very mundane satsang. Satsang is about chanting, bhajan, kirtan, and then going into states of samadhi. But according to me, the main path is this. All the bondages and chains which are tying us to samsara, to be freed of them. We cannot be freed of them unless we free others. We cannot be free on our own, because we are in it together. This is the realm of duality. Me and you. It's not the realm of just me. Yes.
थैंक यू. पहले तो मेडिटेशन में जो व्हाट आई फेल्ट यू नो फ्रीडम एंड आई सॉ स्टिकर ऑन माय विजन बोर्ड आई मस्ट फॉर द फर्स्ट टाइम बिकॉज अदरवाइज आई वाज फॉलोइंग ऑल दैट आई मस्ट डू दिस एंड आई मस्ट द स्टिकर वाज सो prominent, and then thoughts were allowed like a child jumping here and there and playing and then sitting in the lap quietly. And one thing I want to share was how I feel that, like Vishwas was sharing, for me, my parents' relationship was healed when the part of them which I was not accepting within me, when I saw my father in me and that part I was not accepting. I don't want to be like him. I'm that. The moment I start accepting him as he's there, I can't help it. He's in my body, he's in everything. I saw my mom. Then when I started accepting them, the fight outside slowly dissolved. It just dissolved. And I am nowhere unless I have this in me. If I'm in a crowded place, this is always the crowd is within. The moment I'm silent and quiet, I go to that places. It just nature takes me there. Mujhe lagta hai cantina yahan hai aur
exactly aur actually
the same station started playing and I wonder okay how I came here, because
that is what happens. It, in fact, on the flight back, this purser came up to me. He said, "Sir, I have seen your videos. I was very thrilled. Yeah, in plane, maybe kisne dekh liya videos." And he said exactly this. He said he lost his mother in COVID, and it was a beautiful conversation. He said that she guides him even now, not his sister, but she guides him. She comes and guides him. But that apart, he said, "I realized that." Whenever I try to challenge life, life slaps me. And now, he says, everything is a wonder. How did I get here? Like you are saying. He said, even this job in Virgin Atlantic, I don't know how it happened. One thing led to another, and I'm just marveling at how destiny unfolds. And I didn't have to push my way through it. It just happened naturally. And so to follow that natural calling has become his practice. And he said he doesn't like to share his spiritual journey with his family because they don't understand it. But he was feeling guilty. I said, why? If you feel they don't understand it, they don't understand it. Keep it to yourself. And just be yourself. And in that, they will soon discover things themselves. Don't force anything. My host, the couple who hosted our satsang, he was driving me to the satsang. So he said, the first thing we do, it's a new term I learned. The first thing we should do is here in the UK, we trauma bond. I said, trauma bond? He said, yeah, because that brings you very close to people. So the first thing in the UK is you say how bad the weather is. So they say, yes, 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 how bad it is. I said, this is a nice term, trauma bond.
You should have something similar in Bombay.
I said, we are all traumatized in any case. We all bonded with trauma, but trauma bonding. Because both are suffering. See, I told this another young lad who comes to the retreats. I had forgotten what I had said. So he met me over coffee. He said, one thing I'll never forget what you said. And I must have read that somewhere myself. So I said, what is it? He said, it changed my life. I said, but tell me. He said, you said that don't tell your problems to people because 50% of them don't care and the balance 50 are happy you have them. I said that.
Did you say that?
I think so. I must have read it somewhere. I'm not taking credit for it, but he said it changed his life. Now, I certainly didn't expect that to change his life, but it changed his life. He said, I stopped telling my problems. Which is very important, because you see, the more we tell our problems to people, the more we are identified with our problems. And we are repeating them in our heads all the time. I have this problem, I have this problem, I have this problem. So then we become less obsessed by our problems. And we are all, you see, by and large, the people you meet are obsessed with problems. Because if you don't have problems, there's not much else to talk about.
I know this family where there are lots of problems, but whenever we meet, how are you doing? Chaddi kala.
Yeah. So, whatever may be happening, accident ho gaya, kisi ka paw toot gaya, घर का हिस्सा गिर गया कुछ भी हो हाउ आर यू डूइंग बेटा चढ़ दी कलात्मा बस सो दैट्स अ ब्यूटिफुल एटीट्यूड ये स्पेशली सरदारों में सरदार, बहुत दिखता है
चढ़ दी कला गुजराती
हाँ देन द गुजरातीज इन द सत्संग सेड दे डोंट से गुड बाय दे से आउ जो मीन्स
कम अगेन
कम अगेन सो आई जस्ट सेड आई होप दे आर हैप्पी दैट यू कम अगेन
एंड आर काउंटर पार्ट्स अब्रॉड बट डू ऑल राइट से दिस इज द वे दे से
In UK.
This morning when we were coming for the satsang, we reached almost church gate. I received a phone call from my daughter. Okay, happy Father's Day. And you know, come back then we'll have, you know, I ordered cake and all. So I said, don't need to do all that. So we had almost 10-15 minutes and my mind went to my father. Okay, how we were brought up and all. And we were kids, almost 3-4 years. We were taken to Vajeshwari. We spent our time with Nityanand Swami and all. And then later on, once we went to school and, you know, got into all the, okay, we have to become doctors, so we have to work very hard and so much competition and all. But these things were going on. There were no much of interactions, but his actions all the time, all the saints coming to our house. We had satsangs from Swami Narayan regularly at our place. Then we were connected to Divine Life Society, Swami Shivanand's ashram. And we had a branch from 1966. So we have almost till today, yoga and classes early morning, 6 to 7, they are on the terrace of the hospital. So then meeting all other saints all the time, Swami Chinmayananji, Chidananji was my guru. So all those exposures, plus working all the time in the medicine. So we never had so much time to interact with the father and, you know, thank him so much. Ke bhai, you know, we are fortunate and blessed to be brought in such a way. But that has all sinked in over the years and then start thinking and you are always grateful for what has happened.
You're fortunate you had a father like
that. Yeah, yeah. That's what we didn't. He passed away in 83. I was 27, 28. And we were the. And all those malpractices had started in medical profession. All those cut system and all. So we were totally honest. So when we were returning from the crematorium, so doctors, there were almost 300-400 people when my father passed away. So there were, somebody mentioned next day, ke, if these people do not give cut and all in the hospital, band ho jayega. That's the way people, you know. We said nothing happened. We don't want to do anything wrong. Let us continue work hard. We may earn less. It's okay.
Yes.
But we continued our life like that. So I think all those thoughts today come up again.
Of course.
All that.
I'll add one point. While handing over the business to me, I was a new bride,
very raw. He had told me one thing. Ke yahan jo bhi aata hai, wo is a god for you. और जो लक्ष्मी आती है वो सबकी है. तुम्हारे नीचे 100 लोग काम करते हैं, सबकी है. इसलिए उसकी सुरक्षा करना. और कभी ये मत सोचना कि तुम्हारा नसीब खोटा हो गया तो क्या होगा. एक साथ में 100 लोगों का नसीब खोटा नहीं होएगा, बिकॉज सबका नसीब तुम्हारे पास आ रहा है. एंड ऑल्सो वन थिंग वॉट ही सेड वॉज, व्हेन ही सेड अबाउट दिस माल प्रैक्टिसेस, ही सेड दैट इट इज़ वर्स देन प्रोस्टिट्यूशन, बिकॉज द प्रोस्टिट्यूट नोज she's selling her body, but the patient doesn't know that you are selling his body. So that is something that has stayed with us, you know. Very small things, but
beautiful. It's small things only which make a big
that's
difference.
That's what makes.
We don't want big things.
Yeah.
All good things in small doses.
Today we are talking of fathers.
But you thought of sharing about your father because of Father's Day, or just happened?
I didn't know it's Father's Day. Sorry. Yeah, if I call him and tell him I'm sending a cake for you, he'll say, I'll kill you. Don't you dare waste your money on these stupid days. He's a different kind of guy, dude. He'll say, just make me a cup of coffee. Loves coffees, has like 7 to 8 cups of coffees every day. And we're always fighting with him that no, we're not going to make you a cup of, never makes his own coffee. He needs someone to make him coffee. So another thing I did was, without him asking, I randomly make him a cup of coffee.
He didn't say, why have you made me when I made it when I'm not asked.
He loved it more than anything else. He was like, this is pretty cool. Like, you know, ask the wife, she's always screaming at me. The daughter screams at me. This is my only child. He will make me a cup of coffee without me asking for it. It's like, ek rusk bhi de do. It's a sugar problem, no? But, yeah.
I didn't even realize it's Father's Day. And like when I was in my healing journey, when I, you know, so then I start seeing my father stuck at three or four, age of four. Whenever I'm behaving with him as a child, he's the happiest. When I see him as a child, that he need attention right now. So he's happiest. A fight only happened when I expected him to be a father, to be responsible, that man, to do this for me. And I would like to share one thing that, you know, I always knew it from very, very young age, though he was beating me up and all, everything was there. I always felt immense love for me, from him. I never felt that from my mother. But from him, it was beyond. I always knew someone loves me.
Wow.
And that's him. And while I was in the farmer protest, lots of healing had happened. Whatever he beaten me up or said something. And I shared very bluntly with him. Everything. And he's so... such a nice person that he will forgive you even you slap him as a son. Even in seconds. I don't know how do he do it. And while in the farmer protest, he was lying on the body bare chested. I was wearing a baniyan. And I just lied like a child on his chest. And suddenly I felt there's a plate of steel between us.
You felt?
Yeah. I said, why am I not merging in him? Why there is so much distance? Now I'm lying on him, but this distance, I want to be like one with him. And year passed and our sharing happened more and more, more and often. And one, and after a point, whenever we were talking, so he used to run away. And while the farmer protest, end of it, he got that paralyzed from one side. And one day I was talking and now he couldn't run. He was sitting, my mom was there. And I was, you know, I was crying, angry, love, everything was happening like a theater play for half an hour. And finally he said, what do you want? I said, that's all. That's all I want to hear. You never asked me. What do you want? I said, this is it.
And then what about that steel?
And then I started crying. That's all. And thank you for asking. And I went on the bed. I just touched his stomach with my ear. And suddenly I felt that I'm sitting in his womb. In his womb, I could feel everything. And then he just said, did this. And I just, as an actor, I just laughed and I was conscious. And I said, okay, you know, Nimma is my brother, elder brother. He always says, whenever a father wants to cry, he doesn't let the tear out. He just sucks in. I go, why, how do you do that? He said, it's just that when we were growing up, we were not allowed to cry. Even our parents were beating us up. We were not allowed to cry.
It was not considered manly.
No, it's just they were not allowed to cry while getting beaten up. I said, and then I realized, okay, jo bhi mere tak pahuncha hai, he protected a lot. He, you know, and he just, whatever came to me, it came to me. And from that day, I don't feel distanced at all.
Beautiful. You all both are ponchela aadmi, yaar. You're in the same profession as Vishwas?
Yes.
TV acting or films or?
Films and theatre.
Achha. Which do you enjoy more?
Theatre.
What is your name?
Inder.
Inder. You know, I was in London, so there was a play by a very renowned actor, Hollywood actor called Ralph Fiennes. Mm-hmm. He's been in Schindler's List and many movies. He was even in Harry Potter and all. And my God, the stage presence, when you actually see an actor on stage and that energy.
Yeah.
I mean, screen is one thing, but when it's live, it's a very different experience. I was so taken up by his acting.
Yeah.
It was really remarkable.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Body
pronounce it as Rafe, I don't know why. Yeah. But incredible. Really a joy to see that level of acting.
Few days back, we saw this Munshi Premchand ki stories. Unhone repeat ki thi. Nita Ambani ke jo wahan na Nita Ambani jo studio hai, wahan chote chote studios hai. Only 50 people can go, can watch. Jada nahi, chote chote hai. To wahan pe Munshi Premchand ki stories they depicted. And the actress is, you must have heard the name, Seema Vishwas. Seema Vishwas, very famous. And yes, on live we saw her acting. It was really marvelous. Just as you are saying, na, when they, you know, live you see, you can
live
feel
is live.
Energy.
Yes. Jaise recorded satsang or live satsang mein farak hai na.
I come all the way from Kandivali.